5:20, and this is the KDLL Evening News for Tuesday, August 4th, on 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna, listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Thanks for tuning in. Coming up, the National Transportation Safety Board says a Bering airplane was overweight and experienced severe icing conditions before it crashed onto sea ice last year, killing everyone on board. But first, three people died on the Kenai Peninsula in the last week in separate incidents. On Sunday, Alaska State Troopers said 87-year-old Bruce Lape succumbed to injuries he sustained during a multi-vehicle car crash late last month in Kusilov. Troopers say they responded to an automatic crash notification from a phone on the Sterling Highway near the Johnson Lake Campground. A dispatch says Lape was attempting to turn left onto the highway from North Coho Loop Road and was hit by a minivan traveling south. Lape was taken to a Kenai Peninsula hospital and then airlifted to Anchorage with serious injuries. The minivan driver was uninjured. Last Friday, troopers were dispatched to Hope after a woman tripped and fell to her death from a cliff near the Palmer Lakes Trail. Troopers say U.S. Forest Service Rangers, state wildlife troopers, and the Alaska Mountain Rescue Group helped them recover 77-year-old Joyce Weiss's body. Troopers do not suspect foul play. Earlier that day, troopers recovered the body of a 71-year-old Georgia man from the Kenai River. An online dispatch says someone called troopers early Friday morning to report a dead body floating in the river near a boat ramp off Scout Lake Loop Road in Sterling. Troopers say an early investigation determined John Tripp had planned to fish in the area. Officers did not find anything suspicious about Tripp's death and sent his body to the state medical examiner's office. The University of Alaska and its newest staff union have begun negotiations on its first contract. The university recently presented an initial contract proposal. But what's in the proposal, as well as the university's efforts to remove members from the union, are creating a rocky start to negotiations. KTOO's Jamie Deep reports.
CAUSE officially became a union in April and represents more than 2,000 permanent staff at the University of Alaska. The university presented its initial proposed contract to the staff union late last month. University Public Affairs Director Jonathan Taylor says the university is concerned about the pace of negotiations.
Somebody had to get the ball rolling, and given the pace of negotiations, we were very concerned we weren't going to be able to move towards the finish line to hit that March deadline. And so we put together a full contract and put it across so that we could have at least something to start with to be able to negotiate back and forth.
State law requires the university to submit collective bargaining agreements and any associated wages and benefits to the legislature by the 60th day of the session each year for it to be considered. That's usually around the end of March. Taylor says the university generally will not speak on the specifics of a proposed contract, but that the current one serves as a starting point for negotiations. But members of CAUSE are not happy about the initial terms. Ian Marks is the Assistant Athletic Director for Media Relations at the University of Alaska Anchorage. He's also on the union's bargaining team and says the terms are a step back from what members currently have.
We understand this is a first proposal, but we question how productive it is to take several steps backwards while also saying they want to get done quickly. Their proposal takes serious steps back on wage increases, existing practices, healthcare costs, and job security.
For example, Marks says the proposal reduces the amount of paid leave and eliminates tuition waivers. Marks says union representatives are excited to come to the table and continue bargaining. In addition to negotiations, the university is also contesting whether hundreds of positions should be included in the union in the first place. After the members voted to form the union, the university has been contacting specific employees about whether their position allows them to be in the union. Taylor says the positions were identified before the election, but that the parties agreed to wait until after the election to review them.
For folks who are on the contested list, just because they voted in the election, it doesn't mean that they were guaranteed to be in the union. All that means is we said, well, go ahead and vote. Go ahead and have folks come together and cast their ballots so we know what the decision is, and then we'll address these contested positions later.
Taylor says the university identified around 300 positions that need to be reviewed. The union disagrees with that number. Marx says his position is one that's being disputed right now, and the union doesn't want to bargain over them.
We're not legally obligated to bargain over them. We're not interested in bargaining over them. We had our election. It was overwhelmingly in support of a union, and we're not interested in having people peeled away from our union.
A spokesperson for the Alaska Labor Relations Agency said disputes over the placement of positions for the unit are resolved. The agency oversees union and labor issues in the state. However, the university can still challenge certain positions. That would have to be negotiated with the union or filed with the agency. As of Friday, Taylor said the university has not filed anything with the agency. Instead, he said the university is trying to negotiate with the union to resolve the positions. The next bargaining meeting is scheduled for August 4th. The deadline to submit a contract to the legislature for next year's budget is March 21st. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And finally, the National Transportation Safety Board says a Bering airplane was overweight and experienced severe icing conditions before it crashed onto sea ice last year, killing everyone on board. That determination was made in a final accident report issued by the agency last Thursday. Aliona Niden with the Alaska Desk reports.
All nine passengers and the pilot died when a Bering Air Cessna Grand Caravan crashed during its flight between Unalakleet and Nome in February of last year. The NTSB's final report on the incident faults the pilot for, quote, inadequate airspeed management, end quote. It also says the plane faced severe icing conditions and was overweight, leaving less of a margin to avoid a stall. NTSB chairwoman Jennifer Hammondy was on scene in Nome last year and visited the state again this week, meeting with families of the victims of the crash. She says several preventable problems contributed to the accident.
So in this case, we had a number of issues. We had first chronic underreporting of weight loads on the aircraft. There were problems with airspeed management. Between the airspeed, the increased load, the icing conditions, and some pilot inputs, he ended up in a stall.
Hammondy says the pilot encountered severe icing conditions that were not initially forecast. She says investigators found that the pilot checked the weather but did not receive any support from the air carrier, making the decision on whether it was safe to fly.
We found that there wasn't a process in place for Bering to have a weather risk assessment of when to fly, go, no, go decision. It was all on the pilot.
According to the report, a few minutes before the crash, a controller in Anchorage told the pilot that both of Nome's runways were temporarily closed for de-icing and advised the pilot to slow down. The pilot initially decreased speed before increasing engine power again. Flight data showed that the plane pitched nose up at one point before losing speed and altitude until its low airspeed awareness system activated, which disengaged the autopilot. The controller sent a low altitude alert but had lost contact with the pilot. The NTSB report says the plane's anti-icing system was working and the pilot used it before the crash. The U.S. Coast Guard plane found the wreckage resting on ice east of Nome the next morning with no survivors. The NTSB also listed inadequate safety management by Bering Air as a cause of the crash. The report says the airline's planes routinely flew overweight. Bering Air declined to provide a statement when reached for comment. Hammondy says the agency looked at 16 other Bering Air flights and found that loads often exceeded what was stated. She says that the agency didn't look at whether other Alaska operators were also underreporting weights, but broadly speaking, it is a concern. She says the Federal Aviation Administration didn't provide adequate oversight of the air carrier, especially as it rapidly expanded in the region in recent years. She says the agency advised the FAA to require operators to adopt safety management systems, like evaluating risks, having procedures to making sure the loads are accurate, and look at how they do pre-flight planning and go-no-go decisions.
Those, to me, are not burdensome. Those are procedures that any operator, including a single operator, can put in place themselves and can save lives and, frankly, save a company.
Bering Air faces three wrongful death lawsuits related to the crash. Clay Robbins is an attorney representing the family of Talaluk Kachatak from Unalakleet. Robbins says the suit seeks compensation for Kachatak's children, but the family also hopes to set a standard for Bush Airlines across the state.
they must be held accountable for satisfying their responsibility to exercise the highest standard of care to protect their customers from tragedies such as this that was entirely avoidable.
The report is NTSB's final action on the crash. It calls for more training for pilots to better handle loss of control situations. It also includes a host of recommendations for airlines like Bear and Air, called Part 135 operators, like using certified dispatchers and expanding flight monitoring. With reporting from Ben Townsend in Nome, in Anchorage, I am Alena Naiden.
And that'll be all for tonight's KDLL Evening News. We had help from Jamie Deep in Juneau and from Aliona Naiden in Anchorage. You can re-listen to this newscast and find our other stories online at kdll.org. I'm Ashlyn O'Hara. Have a great night.